This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, getting ready at 2 o'clock. You can go to visit newtoyotastadium.com if you want to see more information about all the construction and all the renovation. They're pouring almost $200 million into just amping up the stadium.
It looks like the players are making their way down to practice today to get their training in. But I did have a question. It's going to keep the name Toyota Stadium, but will we be calling it New Toyota Stadium? Is that the plan? Or are we just going to be like, oh, yeah, this is New Toyota Stadium, and how long do you call it new? Like, shouldn't
That's
it just be
question.
York or Mexico at this point?
Okay.
Hampshire.
I did not know that's the direction that you were going to go.
But England.
That is a great question. And then tomorrow, actually, you know what? That's a stupid question. I don't know why I don't know why I went along with that. That's a stupid question. Tomorrow will be at Globe Life Field in Arlington for opening day. If you want to come see us, we're going to have Michael Young, Ian Kinsler, Derek Holland's going to be doing the show with us. It is going to be a star-studded Rangers extravaganza.
You might get cussed at by MJF. That's a possibility.
Look, we're going to have MJF on tomorrow, it looks like, the wrestler from AEW. And from everything I understand, he does not break character.
Okay.
And so I'm very concerned about how this interview is going to go. Are you trying to wave at the players while they're
Ruben's
training?
I don't know. Ruben's trying to point something out to me, and I don't know exactly what it is. Ruben, what are you trying to say right now?
The guy with the hair, is that the gentleman?
Oh, yeah, that's Kevin's friend.
Yeah, Kevin's friend.
Yeah, that's your friend down there, the one that you asked about Christmas. There he is. There's his hair. That's wonderful. I wonder if we can go say
hey,
hi to him and
look,
apologize.
A lot of other stuff happened in that interview.
There were some really good questions.
I know none of that will ever matter, though.
Mm-mm.
Because I was like, hey, you're born on Christmas. That's crazy. What do you think about it?
Wild.
I don't celebrate Christmas. And it all fell apart from there.
One of those fellas, though, will be popping up here in just a little while to talk to us. So
yes,
that's exciting.
Absolutely. That is true. Now, in the meantime, we have other exciting things to talk about because if you could give me cut number 10, I feel like it's about time to talk about those Dallas Stars.
And the Stars will go the other way. Robertson, Duchesne. Duchesne, Robertson, score! Jason Robertson, the end-to-end rush, and Dallas has doubled their lead.
So this is something Corey, that you brought up a few days ago that I thought was a really good question. And obviously the Stars on the road against Edmonton, they're on their kind of like Canadian slash West Coast road trip because you've got Edmonton, Calgary, Seattle, and then Seattle again. So obviously a very, keep saying that word, a very key four game stretch. But the question that you presented, what is the most important thing for the Stars as the regular season wraps up and they prep for the playoffs? Since it was your excellent idea, I think it only makes sense that you would start.
You know, I did see NHL playoff tiers. So that was on the Athletic. And they said where each team sits and what's at stake down the stretch. And so they were kind of going through what each one of these teams kind of needs to do or needs to accomplish. And the first thing they said about the Stars was getting Mikko comfy.
Okay.
And I thought that was an interesting take on that because Mikko Rantanen's comfort level, Miro's uncertain availability for the first round hangs over everything. But in the regular season, all that matters is home ice against Colorado. You and I have been discussing that for a while.
Yeah.
And making sure Rantanen is firing on all cylinders come playoff time. He's had a decent enough start, but he needs to be fully comfortable with his line mates, and that's Hintz and Jason Robertson, and his off-ice life if Dallas is going to live up to its full potential and win the Cup. These last few weeks should be all about putting Rantanen in a good headspace entering the postseason. Because, Kevin, what did we see with McDavid last year? Yes, Edmonton was good. Whenever it was time for him to take over, he did. And even whenever you go and look at what Nate MacKinnon was able to do with Colorado, I know the Stars beat him, but there were moments where you're like, holy crap, how are we going to stop that guy? And whenever you have an elite kind of player like that, what are you going to do? You know, are they going to be able to step up in that moment? This is a very talented Stars team. So I really liked hearing that and reading that. And so I was kind of like putting some thought into, you know, what I was feeling for this team. And I would say getting Miro back is one of them.
Okay.
I know that's, you know, we don't know exactly when that's going to be. We don't, like, have a complete clue, but that is definitely one of them. Better team defense.
Okay.
If this team plays better team defense, not individual defense, team defense. I know I got to cover because Ottinger is going to need this, you know, in this spot. I need all these things. And then win more puck battles. Win more puck battles for this team so that they can get more shots, more efficient shots.
Yeah.
If they can win more puck battles, those are three things that I think are significantly important. And I think those are things that DeBoer's definitely driving home with this group right now.
Now, I'm with you on a lot of this, especially as it's becoming more and more apparent, like you referenced, with Minnesota having some struggles and Colorado looking like they're heating up, that C3 is going to be Colorado, and you have the inside track on C2, and so you would open up the playoffs against Colorado. Winnipeg's still an opportunity, but you're going to need a lot of things to go right for that to happen. So for me, and again, we were going to do this a couple of days ago, and so we saw instant results on what I wanted. Stop the leaky otter, all right? I understand that the defense can be better. I agree with that. For sure, I agree with that. And I think that's a strong argument you can make for many a very good Dallas Stars team over the years. But it's not all the defense. There have been good looks. I will argue for Ottinger, pretty run-of-the-mill looks that he has not been able to stop, and they have converted into goals. So to me, that part is what needs to happen. And guess what? Once we suggested that it go down, what happened in the very next one? Boom! Shutout.
Yes, that was a great way to do it.
Corey is also very excited because not only do we get to watch training here at Toyota Stadium, food has arrived.
FC Dallas.
And so I think he's very excited about that. But yeah, for me, when it comes to the Stars, it is shoring up Jake Ottinger because, like you said, and it's not just Ottinger. It is any goalie in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're going to need a goalie that can steal you a game or a couple of games or a series along the way if you plan on hoisting the cup.
Yeah, and I don't know. I honestly don't know what next level Ottinger has. Like, because we just haven't seen that version of it, right? Like, of, man, that's the best goal net minding I've ever seen. I don't know if he has that.
Not this season, I don't think we have. I think you've seen glimpses of it in the playoffs or anytime he plays Minnesota.
But the calming factor, though, Kevin, with the defense is Miro. And it just, everybody on the ice knows what their job and their role is. And if they don't, he picks it up. You know, like, he's the one that picks up that, all right, that didn't happen, I got it. So for now, I would love for them to do it. But I do believe that Mikko part of it, getting him comfortable in this offense, getting him comfortable and getting those repetitions with that line is going to be very important down this stretch for them because, man, they're going to need that offensive production whenever all else fails. You have a special player that does something special.
Do you need me to give live scoring updates as Team White has gone up on Team Pink 1-0?
I'll tell you what, this is the most active like I've ever seen. These guys are going at it out here. Somebody just texted in and said they was really cool. They were driving behind the stadium for a drop-off, and they had to stop because the team was crossing the street from the practice field. They thought that was pretty cool to see them coming across across over here.
Now, Alec, I would love for you to weigh in on this. Is there one bullet point in particular that you would like to see the Stars focus on heading into the playoffs?
For me, if they can stay healthy for one main reason, everyone's going to say that, just be available and everything. But because you had a massive headliner move in the Mikko Rantanen trade, and there's been a lot of people that I've seen on the social medias that are like 50-50 on his impact so far. If you can just keep like your top few lines intact, keep everybody on the ice so we can get a little bit more chemistry built going into the postseason, that's what I would be happy with. I'm not disappointed with his impact or anything. I'm not in that group, but I would like to see what everything looks like when everybody's really comfortable and everybody's actually available. So staying healthy for the sake of building that chemistry going into a postseason run, I think would be great. I'm tired of seeing guys getting hit in the face with a puck and having absolutely horrible luck.
Kidding, dude.
It feels like it's happening every other game now that somebody's going down with a freak incident that, you know, it might not be big or anything, but you're like, ooh, you know, made me catch my breath a little bit there, made me pause and think that could have been really, really bad. So I just want everybody to be available so maybe we can see what we were kind of hoping for, and maybe some of those people that are doubting how powerful this Stars offense really is, maybe they can start to see the results that they were expecting, because I don't think it's going to happen overnight, and I think everybody needs to be available for that to happen.
And so here's my concern about that. I just don't think that's going to happen from a perspective of, by the time the playoffs start, you're going to be, like, we'll say full strength or as full strength as possible, just because I am worried. I know Tyler Seguin's on the way back, but I believe DeBoer and Nil, when it feels like they're dropping hints for us about Miro and the first round of the playoffs. So what I'm concerned about too is you're not going to get that full strength Dallas Stars team until at least the second round. But I do still like this Dallas Stars team.
You think you can win that first round without him?
I do. But
beyond that, you think he's kind of a necessity?
Well, I do, because, and here's the other thing. You asked the key question. Do I think they can win that first round series? Yes. Yes, I do. If they had Miro, would I feel very confident that they win? There's another goal for White. That's 2-0. They're putting it on him, even though that's the most dangerous lead in soccer. And so I would feel very confident about the Stars' ability to defeat Colorado with Miro in tow. And so I would go from think to confident.
Okay.
And so obviously that same logic is going to hold up whether you're, you know, if you play Winnipeg in the second round, if you play Vegas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lose a peg. Yeah,
we got
to start that now, Kevin.
In the second round, if you play Vegas in the conference finals. So, yes, I think you can win, but the closer they tell me that Miro is to coming back, I think that's a way bigger deal than Seguin coming back. And I don't feel like that's a particularly controversial statement.
From the 903, Jason Robertson, be Robo again, that we get a goal-scoring machine and become our McKinnon or our McDavid this playoff run. I'm not relying on Robertson for that. I am relying on Rantanen for that. But
interesting.
Robertson, Kevin, is he has lived up to what I wanted him a little more this year. Last year, you know, obviously there was some stuff earlier in the season, and I was like, come on, dude. And it looks like he's kind of found that groove again. But we've seen him in the playoffs. You're like, where did you go? And, when, you know, as things get tighter, he's kind of like, well, I just don't have that. I want to see a little more toughness out of him. I want to see him putting shoulders into people, clearing the space for himself.
And you think he can?
I don't know. We haven't seen it,
yeah.
So I don't know. He's always.
I don't know about that.
It's more like it's more finesse, and you know, I think it was robot, like a computer-minded kind of guy. And there's another element of hockey that gets more physical whenever the playoffs hit.
Man, I would really like to continue to see Bischel just chump folks out
on
ice.
That is becoming one of my favorite things to see because he doesn't care, and he knows he's bigger and stronger than most of the people on the ice.
Just about anybody that you're going to match up with. Now, is it concerning that every now and again he has as many hits as the rest of the Stars team combined? Yes, that is very concerning, but I don't think you're going to be able to change the overall physical mentality of this team at this point in the season.
And so. Probably not. And, you know, being fast, DeBoer likes that.
He does. That he does. That he does. By the way, as we're talking about training, the goal on one of the sides is moved up to essentially the top of the 18-yard box.
That's for training, dude.
Yeah.
That's
and so,
for, yeah, they're not trying
so it's,
to.
It is training, and people are going, man, they're going hard. But it is not the full field out here at Toyota Stadium. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, unpopular opinion or not, MLB opening day is better than the Super Bowl. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
The 1-2, and that ball is hit high and deep into right. Lowe going back, looking up, it's gone. Six rows up in straightaway right, Corey Seager with a three-run dinger. And the Rangers lead it 7-2.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan from the 214. Can we get Bassick to say go get Rangers while doing a game? I bet we can.
Like get him to say it tomorrow, or because tomorrow
maybe not tomorrow.
He's gonna be busy tomorrow.
Yeah.
And congratulations to him, first ever opening day. Like this is his opportunity to do that. That's really cool for Mike. I'm really happy that one of our alum from the show is doing something special like that.
Absolutely.
Rather than being in Houston.
Now from the. Right, you just here. That's from the 972. A lot of things are better than the Super Bowl we had this year. I get you, but I'm saying maybe for hype level. If you want to talk about the actual outcome, like that's fine. But maybe for hype level, is it an unpopular opinion that MLB opening day is better than the Super Bowl? Because as we discuss in Crosstalk, I will argue not an unpopular opinion because it is fact.
Yeah, with me, I would say it is popular because while I do like the Super Bowl, and granted, if the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl, that might change my mind. You know, if they're in it more frequently, that might definitely change my mind about it.
Yeah.
But I do like the Super Bowl. I think it's... Listen, man, a lot of people get bent out of shape about the halftime shows. I don't care what they think. I either enjoy it or I don't. And most of the time I do enjoy it. But that's not going to make or break my day.
Sure.
And then the commercials, like a lot of people feel like the commercials are the best part of it. I did have to watch a football game that is supposed to be the two best teams. And it's supposed to be like a culmination of these dudes worked their butts off throughout the season, and this is the ultimate trophy for it. That being said, I also am getting them with lots of injuries at the end of the year. Like their bodies are all beaten down, and sometimes it doesn't turn out to be the game that I want it to be. But the excitement for it, I do love to turn on the TV that morning and just let it go all day long because it's a 12-hour pregame show. It really is.
Now,
and so I do like that part.
Okay, that is really interesting to me because that's a really strong argument. I don't personally do that, but like I've done that and nerded out for like wrestling things and stuff.
I don't sit there and watch it all, but it's on all day.
Yeah.
So I'm doing stuff. I'm making queso. I'm getting stuff ready. I have plans, and I love that part of the community of families and friends getting together for it.
It kind of feels Thanksgiving-esque
yeah.
in terms of like maybe – just for who we are, you might not be as locked in to the Detroit game, but like it's on while the finishing touches are happening and everything like that. And so baseball's counter to that, I believe, would be like you're essentially going to get probably 10 hours of baseball,
and
right?
And every team. I mean, yes. Except for maybe the Dodgers.
Hey, the Dodgers are still involved, even though them and the Cubs already played two games. But yeah, so you start at 2 o'clock. And then the last two games start at 9, so I realize the games have been getting shorter, but let's say they go till about midnight. That's 10 solid hours of baseball. It feels to me like the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament because of the way so many of these games get stacked.
The other part, too, Kevin, is, I know this sounds ridiculous, there is no real fantasy football league for the Super Bowl.
Because everyone's done by week 15, or I guess 16 of the regular season.
There's plenty of gambling to do. Listen, if and I don't necessarily, when it comes to fantasy football, it's not the gambling part of it. It's the bragging rights more than anything for me. But the gambling part of it, there's plenty to do on the Super Bowl. But on opening day, everybody that plays fantasy baseball, their rosters get started.
Now,
and so that's a big factor there. But I don't know how... If you were to go look at the numbers, how more significantly the numbers are staggered for fantasy football to fantasy baseball to fantasy basketball. I don't know what those numbers are.
Yeah, that's true, because I don't really know too many people at all that play fantasy basketball, but I'm sure there's a ton out there. And by the way, if you're thinking about daily fantasy for baseball, let me just remind you, Corey Seager, more than 3-1 on your money if you think he'll go higher than half a home run, which would just mean, you know, hitting a home run. I think that is a potential play on Underdog tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. Trying to help you out, by the way. Use the promo code Masterpiece.
The 469, Kevin. Oh, sorry. My apologies.
No,
the 469, y'all are crazy. No one can possibly think opening day can touch the Super Bowl. From the 214, opening day is a lot better. From the 972, yes, MLB opening day is way better than the Super Bowl. There's plenty of texts that are supporting this. And that's why this is a good conversation, I think.
Yes.
Because, Kevin, even yesterday, whenever I saw it on Twitter, I said it, and you were like, you argued with yourself before
I
you
did,
even said what you
because I was like, no. But
now that we've been able to go out and be there for opening day a few
crossbar.
Times.
That's a heartbreaker.
We've been able to be there for opening day a few times, get to see the doors open and the fans start flooding in. Everybody loves the smells. They love the, you know, everybody wants that. It's in the middle of the day, too. You know, like that's one of those things that you're leading up to it, and you didn't have to spend most of your day. Now you're tired. Now you're already there. I think I will go with opening day. And I'm looking a lot more forward to it every year that the Rangers are this kind of team where they're saying we're going for it.
And if anybody is curious, we don't have our Twitch and YouTube turned towards the field because we tried that earlier and the sun was not our friend for that when it came to like our silhouette shadows and everything. By the way, I wish we would ask RJ and Bobby about if Brett Boone got spooked when you popped into the Zoom.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
As like a shadowy figure and stuff. All right.
From the not 512, opening day is better. Everyone has a chance all at the same time to win a championship. The Super Bowl, you don't always get the two best teams.
And that's
interesting.
Where I'm at. I know it sounded like a sarcastic answer to Bobby this morning. My team is going to play on opening day. All right, for the last going on 30 years now, my team has not played in the Super Bowl, let alone got particularly close to the Super Bowl. But that's one thing about opening day.
Good touch.
You know that you theoretically have a chance. Like even the White Sox theoretically have a chance tomorrow. Now, it might fall apart quickly, but theoretically they have a chance. And you can set your watch by it. When opening day is going to be, hopefully you're going to be the home team. And so you have the opportunity, because that's a whole different vibe. When you're the home team for opening day, that's a whole different vibe. Like it's going to be tomorrow at Globe Life Field, Whataburger's opening day. And so I do think it's opening day, because I get to break down like a team that I care about. Now, if this was the 90s, maybe I would be like, that's stupid. It's obviously the Super Bowl. But since we haven't been even close, like, I've seen the Rangers win the World Series. I've seen the Rangers get to three World Series in the last 15 years. And so I can look at opening day. Think about that. The Rangers have been in 20% of the World Series in the last 15 years. And so, like, you can go into a season and be like, you got 1 in 5 shot of being in the World Series. Like, those are crazy odds. The Dodgers would probably be embarrassed at how low those odds were. But for everybody else, those are really impressive odds.
Somebody said, what's Corey talking about? The smells. Yeah, popcorn, hot dogs, hurtado. You walk into that place, there is an you walk in, there's something that's going to hit you that reminds you of it. And Kevin, I love football. It is my favorite sport.
Yes.
Okay? But I am very romantic about the game of baseball.
Sure.
And I always have been. I mean, I'm sappy about it. Even we all teared up whenever the Rangers won the World Series. I'm sappy about what baseball is because, you know, we grew up playing it. I watched movies about it. I expected to be the third baseman for the Rangers growing up. So all those things, there is a romance to it that's just a little bit different than what I feel for football.
Because think about all your football experiences, especially live. Do you remember any earth-shattering conversation you had or like, just get the first down? Whereas in baseball, like I can absolutely tell you conversations that I had with me and my mom. Or conversations that Brandon and I have had at a ball game. And I'm very hopeful that obviously someday me and Noah will get to do the same thing. But I remember very vividly a Rangers game we got to go to where we got great seats. And Brandon thought it was the best thing ever because the Rangers came back and took the lead in the bottom of the eighth. And he got one of the M&M ice cream sandwiches. That combination of things he thought was the most amazing thing ever. And to me, I'm just like, I am bonding with my son at a baseball game. You can bond at sporting events, but football doesn't always lend itself to, let's have a lengthy conversation about, like, you know, what are you thinking about for college or whatever.
Remember the year that we went, it was World Series year, and we get out there, and this was pitch clock the first time. You remember that Bob Costas clip that Mike played for us? And like when it was done, I had goosebumps. I was excited about it. That's the part of the romantic part too, is the build up, the lead up to it, the pregame for it is really good quality content. Jared is going to be delivering quality stuff tomorrow before the game, and he's going to hop on with us obviously too. But those kinds of things are the ones that get you excited because you remember that crack of the bat. You remember that hum of the pitch. Those are the things that really, those sounds of baseball, will they come back? Kevin, I get it every time we get to spring training. When we get out to Arizona, I get like antsy about it because I'm so excited about baseball season starting back up again.
Now, I like that because I was just thinking, when the Super Bowl is here, I'm amped for the Super Bowl and I want to see who's going to win. But when it's opening day, like tomorrow, Chuck Morgan is going to be on with Sean and RJ. And can't you already hear in your head, your attention, please?
Like, yeah, I can. Or,
yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I can.
And so you think about that. You think about the first ball that you can hear the sound of, and you're like, that's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or you think of the smell, and it's really funny.
Think about that anticipation when the crack of the bat hits, and the crowd is like, oh my gosh, that one's gone.
And you go so fast from holding your breath to everyone going insane together. There's just something about it from the 972. Opening day is the only day that I celebrate.
That's from the 214, you can remember holiday conversations because the game is so boring that you have plenty of time to have conversations.
See, and I just don't, I don't view it that way because I think if you look at the actual downtime in games, there's a lot of downtime in football as well. It's just you immediately focus on the next play and think about the strategy of it, where when I'm sitting in the stands, I don't necessarily think of the strategy of now it's 1-0 instead of 0-1.
You know, that is another thing too, is, you know, having worked with Mike for the years that we worked with him, I started seeing baseball differently. And now when I do watch guys at the plate, every pitch, I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? Because I'm trying to think what the batter's thinking. All right, he just threw a curveball. We got this count. He hasn't been able to get this pitch all day. This pitch is about to come. Bam. You know, like, I'm thinking about that. And whenever Evaldi's on the mound, we heard him in the All-Star game talk himself through it.
Yeah.
So that was for me. Now I know what he's thinking whenever he's on the mound a lot of times. And so that's another fun part of it. And there is something about seeing those faces, you know, seeing the players' faces light up whenever it's opening day,
yeah.
The pomp and circumstance of the national anthem, getting everybody out on the field, the announcements. And like you said, Chuck Morgan is classic, baby.
He really is. From the 806, tomorrow will be 15 straight opening days. For me and my buddies, it's a tradition. We all drive or fly in for the weekend. It is my favorite holiday, and I have to admit, I'm amped about doing the show tomorrow for opening day and watching people like rush through the doors when they open, even though it's way before game time. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, and if you do come up to the stadium, you do have it's when the doors open, you can come say hi to us.
Yes.
So you will need a ticket to get in.
True.
And you can come in and say hi to us. We'll be in center field. And I do believe Kevin, Michael Young, and Ian are earlier in the show.
Yes, they are.
But they're going to be there for opening day. They're excited for it as well.
Yeah, I am absolutely pumped, and I hope everyone is excited for Texas Rangers opening day tomorrow. Look, we've talked so much about our show. Don't forget, right after that, an hour-long pregame, and that will lead you right into the opening day game, like all the Rangers games you can hear right here on 105.3 The Fan. In the meantime, can you give me cut number one, please, Alec Medford?
Hart knocks it away, throws it ahead. Good pass. Ananobi for the flush. Josh Hart's defense turns into offense.
We got AM on the FM coming up in a few minutes. But before we get to that, I wanted to go through a couple of basketball things for you. First of all, are you proud of the Mavericks for going back and doing the right thing and losing? Now, they were like, we went too far. We won that game. Anthony Davis was back. We needed it for the people. Now let's fall back in line.
Not really.
Okay.
Last night's game, for me, like, Najee Marshall was the exception. Najee
yes.
Marshall was an absolute blast to watch last night. But then again, somebody had to score the points.
yeah.
But also, he was in his hometown. You know, he's from Brooklyn. He's from up there. And so he wanted to show off a little bit last night. And you could see it while he was playing, man. That being said, Kevin, when we got him, we were like, all right, corner three guy. You know, like, that's what corner three, great defensive player. Some of the touch he has around the basket, I'm very impressed with. When he gets in and around that area, he's comfortable. He's shooting threes from the top of the three-point line. I'm actually very impressed with what Najee Marshall is. Again, somebody had to do it, but whenever he's paired up with an Anthony Davis, I'm pretty confident in what a team is there. I know where you are on that. I know where you are, but I'll take some fun basketball as this season ends. And if they do sneak into the playoffs, we weren't going to get Cooper Flag anyway, Kevin.
All right. So let's talk about the NCAA tournament. The first two rounds of the men's NCAA tournament drew the biggest audience they've had in more than 30 years.
You know what that tells me? Tells me underdog is working.
Oh, that's true. If you hit that last, man, I got a 4 player hit on that, which paid off 9-1. Just saying.
It tells me that because there are lots of sites and lots
yes.
of ways to gamble or make plays. There are lots of ways to do that. And we've seen that rise over the last 5
sure.
years, I feel like.
For sure.
And that tells me that this tournament, the excitement about it, every year is always, oh man, let's get our bracket. But more and more people are starting to get more excited about, hey, we can make some plays on this thing too.
Now, it's a little trickier on the women's side. By the way, how many times more viewers do you think the men's tournament gets than the women's?
Two.
Okay.
2 times?
16 times.
Okay.
Much.
Sweet 16.
So in the first two rounds,
then obviously because Juju Watkins got hurt, so now everybody's
you know, that is an interesting point. I don't think because of when that happened, that would totally change the dynamics of it. But yes, yeah, 16 times as many people watched the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament for the men than they did for the women. And the women, it's a little tricky because their numbers historically are still good. But who's not in the tournament this year? Besides Juju,
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. So the women's tournament was down 22% ratings-wise in the first round and 30% in the second round. And when they get to the final four, they're going to see a staggering drop, despite the, you know, Paige Becker still being there, hopefully future Dallas wing.
I've seen some posts that she does not look very interested in the tournament, and she's just kind of like waiting, abiding her time before she's
Oh, really?
That's what I've kind of seen.
Counterpoint.
Okay.
Did you know that she partnered with Duncan to get 1,500 tickets for UConn students to be able to go to their second round game?
All right.
And
she
said,
platform.
She said, they've given me so much and given so much support to the team. We wouldn't be where we are without them. They're the best supporters in the country. You see that environment like tonight? They're my friends. They're my peers. Wanted to help out.
Mm-hmm.
In your face, naysayers!
Yeah. That. Well, all right, fine then. Good for them, good for her.
But I'm curious to see what the ratings do now without Caitlin Clark going forward, even though obviously Beckers and UConn are a big draw. You talked about losing Juju. She is one of the biggest draws in all of women's college basketball. So they're going to be down, but they're still going to be a good bit up from where they have been for years and years and years and years.
Yeah, that's really cool. Hey, man, you've seen the interest. I know we don't carry the games on our station.
True.
And we kind of did a study that showed that it wasn't a ratings coup or a boom for anybody. And so that's kind of why it was. But we discuss and we understand the excitement when it comes to sitting down and watching. And even during the show, I mean, we're watching these things. We don't necessarily talk about every game the same way, but the excitement for the sport and this time of year is always there.
That is true. And by the way, I don't know if we'll need to talk about this tomorrow. My wife and I are going to New York.
What?
Where the East where the East regionals are, and that's where Duke is, but we're not leaving until Friday, and Duke plays on Thursday. So look, if they win, this will be known as the Duke trip. If they lose, my wife has never been to New York City.
Ah, okay.
She's very excited, and it will be called the New York trip.
The New York trip. I like that. That's cool, man. Hey, I for you, I hope they win.
I do, too.
For everybody else, I hope they lose.
Oh, man, that's
fair. But just for you, I hope they win.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Thanks, Corey. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it, Corey Majors. I can feel you thinking about it from...
Hey, Alec, can I ask you a question of the day?
Oh, wow. I'm scared.
How concerned are you if we do have MJ on the show tomorrow and his thoughts about swearing and the FCC in general?
Yeah, that's probably the selfish reason I wish I was out there so I don't have to defend the dump button during that interview, because I know it's going to be pressed at least multiple times. So, that could be a question of the day, over under. How many times I'm going to have to hit the dump button during MJF's hit with y'all?
How many times isn't it only two?
I think you can do three.
Three?
Right?
Theoretically, we could do four, but I have a feeling the bosses are going to be on their P's and Q's too, so we're all going to hit it at the same time, and then there's going to be a little bit of confusion in terms of if we can actually dump anything else. So
should we prepare, or should you prepare for an impromptu AM on the FM when
probably.
We inevitably
yes,
have
you
to
should.
Just...
Yes, you should.
We just
probably,
have to...
Probably, yeah.
We'll be talking to MJF, but it'll just be for fun.
Yeah.
Just in our headsets, because we'll be like, you're off.
Yeah, just throw a laptop on Ruben's board and roll on it. We'll clean it in post, you know, and we'll have to rerun it, you know, like overnight or something, because that's going to take some time to turn around.
I do not think it would be the worst thing in the world if he's like, hey, I can be there at 9 a.m. I'll do the interview then. I'll be like, hey, that sounds fantastic. Let's
that would probably make me feel a little bit better about tomorrow. But hey, the good news is it does sound like that I will have a ticket for opening day.
Oh,
and it does sound like I will be there. So okay. I'm excited to get out there. I've never been to opening day. Never.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, this will be my first time ever experiencing it. So I'm hoping that I'll get to party with everybody out there. That's going to be real fun after the show. But
it's just another baseball game.
Shut up, Corey. He does not think that.
Corey.
He doesn't
you
think
just heard,
that.
You just heard how much I love it.
Corey, you and I have been saying for weeks now, this is pivotal. You cannot go 162 and all without winning on opening day. But
that's fact.
That's stupid. You know it is factual, but that's stupid.
This is a fact-based show, Kevin.
That's true. What I went with is the three times they made the World Series, they won the opener. So I have now moved over to y'all's side that this is a must-win game. Not for going 162-0. It's never going to happen. But because that's what the trends say for making the World Series.
I'll take it.
Well, speaking of facts, we got the question of the day, 877-881-1053. Plus, my favorite numbers from the Super Bowl have finally been released. And it's not the numbers you think I'm going to talk about. We'll get to those here in just a few minutes. But, fact, Jack, today is National Manatee Appreciation Day. The last Wednesday in March of every year is National Manatee Appreciation Day. So, I don't think about manatees a lot. I think they're a pretty obscure animal, which is fine. So I'm asking everybody out there, what is your favorite obscure animal? 877-881-1053. And I'll lead it off to try to set the tone here. For me, it has forever and always been the lemur. Do you constantly think about lemurs whenever you think about animals? No. But growing up, I was a giant fan of Zaboomafoo. So,
I don't know what that means. Is that the name of the lemur?
It was the name of a very famous lemur growing up. I think it was on PBS, I think. But it was a show.
Did you like to move it, move it?
Okay.
Different lemur?
That's King Julian.
All right.
So I have a quick question and then a manatee story for you.
You got a manatee story?
Quick Joseph Randall story.
Yeah, quick manatee story. So I believe it was Target years ago. We did the story on air. Became under fire because they had two different tops. They had the top for the ladies that they listed as metallic gray, and then they had the plus size top for the ladies that looked the exact same color, and they called it manatee gray. And a lot of people were bent out of shape.
That brought along the hey fatty joke,
yes,
right?
It did. And so that caused a lot of problems. Follow up. Can I list a dinosaur as the answer to this?
Absolutely.
Okay. So my answer then is the Giganotosaurus. A couple of reasons. First of all, I thought it was Gigantosaurus for most of my life. But all my younger son cares about now is dinosaurs. And so one fun thing that he does all the time, he's like, oh, T-Rex. I love T-Rex, Daddy. Do you love T-Rex? And so I'll see it and he'll be like, oh, Diplodocus. I love Diplodocus. Do you love Diplodocus? No, and he's like, I love Diplodocus. And like he'll do his best to get through it. But we watch this thing called Baba Blast, and the whole point of it in one of these is to get to the Giganotosaurus, and he is so freaking amped up about that Giganotosaurus. I think that is now my number one.
That is cool. That is cool. What's the question again?
Your favorite obscure animal.
Oh, sorry, and let me explain why. Somebody tweeted or X'd to us the note that Dove Kleiman has posted about the fella who posted that the Browns are trying to trade for Dak Prescott. And he has a whole rant about it. And Dove Kleiman said, the Browns try to trade for Prescott. This sounds insane if true. And I haven't listened to the audio of the guy yet, but I just went with what Nick Harris said, and he was like, come on.
Plus, so, I don't think it's true because Dove Kleiman would have already ripped it off and pretend like
it
was his own. Yeah, he'd have been like,
if he's even a real person at this point.
Which he might not be.
So,
I don't know.
So my apologies. Can you repeat the question for me?
Your favorite obscure animal in observation of Manatee Appreciation Day. Dude, yes, it's a real thing.
I will tell you this about a manatee. I went to the Dallas Aquarium to have, we were potentially going to have our wedding at the Dallas Aquarium.
Oh, that'd have been cool.
And listen, I hope the Dallas Aquarium people don't get mad at me for this.
Oh, dear.
If you just kind of want to go to the Dallas Aquarium one day, you can say I'm hoping to have my wedding there, and they'll let you in free for the day.
What?
So we kind of also took advantage of that while we were there.
What?
But while we were there, the manatee swam by, the big thing, and I was imagining our wedding, and I was like, wow, how cool would it be that a manatee is swimming by while we're doing our vows? And then it took a big poo right there as it was swimming by, and I was like,
I did not expect
never
that.
Mind.
Me neither.
Never mind. I do not want that. I'm going to go with the antelope. I think the antelope has always been one, or the gazelle. The gazelle is the one that I saw one time. A gazelle was standing there, and somebody shot, my cousin shot an arrow, and it jumped its butt out of the way.
Oh,
and
my
I was like,
gosh.
What? How did it know? And it knew what to do.
Did I ever tell you one time I got to go to a place where the deer and the antelope play? And it seldom was heard a discouraging word.
Yeah.
And the skies are not cloudy all day.
That's all I wanted. That is all I wanted, Alec.
No. I just wanted the silence.
Screw you guys. Just one more hour. 877-881-1053, your favorite obscure animals. I think my favorite one was from the 214. They said the platypus. It's just a ridiculous animal. And I fully agree. Like, nothing about that animal makes sense, but I still love them, especially Perry. He's a great agent.
I was going to say, I'm going to try this one more time. What about Perry the platypus?
I think he's awesome. I think he's one of the best characters in animation history.
I can't do his sound effect, and I've always wanted to be able to.
Me
the way
too.
He chatters his teeth.
Yeah.
It's so cool sounding, and I've always wanted to do it, but I'm afraid I'm going to break all my teeth.
Yeah, I had a friend in high school who could do it perfectly, like absolutely on par, and I was like, how? And he was like, I can't explain it. It kind of just happens. And it's like, well, that doesn't help. I'm trying to be like the next big voice actor, like D. Bradley Baker who? You know, I'm trying to dream big in high school, and he wasn't helping me out there.
He didn't have a lot of dates on the weekend, did he?
No, not a lot.
Hey, I like this text from the 817. Hey, Kevin and Corey, let Alec know that it's awesome, but also a little weird that when you guys bring up someone from the past, he actually knows the person, unlike Peyton. Alec is he's a very intelligent man. I'm not saying Peyton is not, but he's also very learned, and that's a thing.
Yeah, I try. You know, I was going to take a shot at UNT, but I forgot Corey went there, so that wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, don't do that. No,
I mean, you did make fun of my height a million times 2 weeks ago, so I think it's fair game at this point.
Whoa.
So keep those coming in, 877-881-1053, your favorite obscure animals, as I see otters from the 318. I see from the 214, wombats.
Oh, wombats.
Oh, that does sound
cool.
The
Crappy Barbara. Have you ever seen the Crappy Barbara?
What?
Or Capybara. My apologies. Not the
Take
Crappy
that,
Barbara.
Barbara's out there.
What the hell just happened?
Go check it out. Just go type in Crappy Barbara and watch the video.
Okay, I'm going to.
You got to hear it, too, though. So, narwhals. What
yes.
about a narwhal? You ever seen one?
Are those real?
Yeah.
Narwhals, okay. Narwhals.
Narwhals real, dude. You don't believe it?
It's an awful song.
You don't believe in the narwhal.
Well, I just was asking because I know people will naysay the unicorn. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make sure that the narwhal was real.
Hope you find your dad.
Is this a TikTok trend? Because the number one thing that says hashtag Crappy Barbara on TikTok. So
yeah, it's a video. This dude does. He doesn't know how to pronounce names. That's
okay.
the thing.
So
it always
good.
Ends up being. It's really funny. I'll find
good.
It for you later, dude.
All right.
Yeah, here's a picture right here of the narwhal, Kevin.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Yeah, before we get out of here, my favorite Super Bowl numbers have been released by TMZ and The Hill. And it's not anything about viewership. It's about the FCC complaints that were against the Super Bowl halftime show performed by Kendrick Lamar. There were exactly 125 complaints filed with the FCC, and they were all over the place. At least 10 of them, according to TMZ, were about a, quote, personal vendetta against his arch nemesis Drake.
What?
Let's see. And
what does the FCC have to do with that?
Yeah, and I want to read one verbatim because this kind of just tells you where the complaints might have been coming from. Quote, Kendrick Lamar made fake, false, and scandalous claims that are unfounded. He said, but they didn't say said, it says SD. Drake was a pedophile on TV in front of million of people. Million of people. Do better. This is a sad day. One complaint read.
Oh, jeez Louise.
And then there was at least 3 complaints against Serena Williams specifically for promoting, quote, gang affiliation.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me with the way I heard people complain about stuff. That does not surprise me at all. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, celebrating some FC Dallas. Looks like they finished up their training. We're going to have another player on in about 30 minutes. But coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
How important is receiver to you in this draft? And Majors has been adopted. How can you help even more? Next on The Fan.